Wednesday, February 7th, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week is off to a strong start. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And hey, this is Super Bowl week. And yes, we are all excited right now for the big game. But I'll be honest, I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me at least a little bit sad. Because the football season is about to be over. And honestly, I'm just not ready for the boredom yet. Fortunately, one thing that might cushion the blow just a little bit is March Madness. Hey, March Madness is coming really, really fast. We've only got like 3 or 4 weeks left in the regular season. Then we're getting into conference tournaments. We know we have rivalry games coming. And then we'll be right into the tournament and rolling into spring. And that at least cushions the blow of football season ending a little bit. Not completely, but it does a little bit. And hey, this year, I know we don't love men's college basketball like we used to. But I'm telling you this, college basketball has so much parity this season. Hey, I fully expect we are going to see some serious upsets in the tournament yet again. If you're not watching just yet, and I understand it, because we do still have a little bit of football to watch, but like, just look at this past week. Unranked Georgia Tech beat number 3 North Carolina. Unranked South Carolina beat number 5 Tennessee. Unranked Florida beat number 10 Kentucky. Unranked Nebraska beat number 6 Wisconsin. Unranked Butler beat number 13 Creighton. Unranked Cincinnati beat number 15 Texas Tech. You see what I mean here? There's so much parity. There are no great teams. There's a lot of pretty good teams. And then there are going to be some sneaky teams that come in and make some noise, like we even saw this last week. But the best moment of college basketball so far this year actually took place on Monday night. Not sure if you saw this. But over the weekend, the number 4 Kansas Jayhawks were back home against Houston. Houston's pretty good. Now, Kansas had a couple of tough road games. They had lost at West Virginia, and they had lost at Iowa State. But on Saturday, Kansas made those losses feel like a distant memory. Because the Kansas Jayhawks had maybe the best offensive performance against a Calvin Sampson coach team ever. I mean, against Houston, who we know is known for their defense, Kansas shot 69% from the field. That is the highest for any team against Houston since Sampson took over. So Kansas went out and whooped Houston. Okay. So then on Monday night, the Jayhawks went to Manhattan to face their interstate rival, the scrappy Kansas State Wildcats. Hey, it's a rivalry game. K-State isn't ranked. And we know the Jayhawks basically own this series, right? This is going to be a walk in the park for Kansas. But the Wildcats wouldn't follow the script. They hold Kansas to just 3 of 15 from the three-point line. And they knocked down 9 threes themselves. So the game went to overtime, and Kansas State actually also out-rebounded Kansas by 10 boards. The Kansas State Wildcats upset number 4 Kansas 75-70 on Monday night. But wait for it, because then what happened after the game? Nothing. Huh? A rivalry game where the underdog won on their home floor, and then they didn't even storm the court? What in the world is going on? Well, you see, it seems that last year, when K-State had beaten the Jayhawks and then stormed the floor After that game, Kansas State head coach Jerome Tang said, hey, he made an announcement on the PA system. From now on, no storming the floor. We expect to win. And they did. And then they didn't storm the floor. So wait a second. What in the world is going on? You mean to tell me that an adult in a position of authority actually set a standard for kids and the kids met the standard? Amazing. That's the greatest thing I've seen in college hoops in years. Hey, could this be an actual return to, I don't know, some normalcy? Could this be a return to some common sense in the world of sports?
Not bloody likely.
Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. In fact, if you haven't stopped by there yet, I'm just letting you know, you might want to, because the Daily Dose Super Bowl 58 drinking game is up. You might want to write down those rules and be ready for the big game on Sunday. But we do also put up links to the podcast. We put up links to the YouTube video. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. I hate to bring this up, but Valentine's Day is coming and it's coming fast. You might want to go pick up a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatshirt for the special person in your life. Make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every single week and checking in with what is going on over there. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be breaking down that Super Bowl 58 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers as only we can. We will look at both teams. We will look at all of the contributing factors in this game, and we will be making our predictions. Plus, we will even be looking at a few lines in the world of sports betting. Hey, if you are hoping to make a little money on the game, might want to check out this full podcast. In fact, we have so much to get to today on The Dose. We had better dive in right now. Joining us this week to break down Super Bowl 58 as only we can here at The Dose, we have the president of the Daily Dose I-Team that does find the stories and the inside scoops that no one else can find. Big Rob, welcome back to The Dose. Are you looking forward to Super Bowl 58?
I am. It's a little bittersweet as always, last game of the year, but I think we'll get a good game, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, because, you know, I don't know that we were rooting for this matchup at all. We had a lot of other matchups we were hoping for, but don't we have a chance to, like, get a good game?
I think so, and I think we deserve one, because we had a couple blowouts there early on, so yeah. I think the football gods have to at least give us something competitive.
I agree, because the playoffs, there was a lot of moments that didn't, you know, have any excitement to them. A lot of blowouts, a lot of ugly games. I'm really hoping this one is going to make up for that. Rob, before we get to the big game, I'm noticing a trend. We are seeing some coaches get out of the college football ranks and jump to the NFL. We saw Nick Saban retire. Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, he goes to the Chargers. Boston College head coach, not a coordinator, head coach, Jeff Hafley is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Kentucky offensive coordinator Liam Cohen is going to be the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There are rumors UCLA head coach Chip Kelly is going to go back to the NFL. Are coaches just over the idiotic demands of the college game?
I think so. That and they don't know how to handle the NIL just because all that comes with that. And it's still changing. I mean, it's a new thing, still changing. There's still not really rules around it. And seems like, you know, as always, kind of the big programs, big dogs benefit from it the most. So I think until that sort of, you know, kind of sorts itself out, you know, some of those coaches will, you know, make the jump and take a stab at the NFL.
Well, I think they are. And you bring up a point of the NIL stuff. Now, not only do you have to recruit these kids and then keep them every year because they can just leave whenever they want, you've got to suck up to boosters and that kind of stuff that you never had to do before. That seems like a lot for a college football coach to have to deal with.
Yeah, that much more. And like you said, and then with the portal, too. I mean, that's a thing before that, you know, kind of when they got there, for the most part, they'd have to stay there. You had that threat of having to sit out a year if you leave, where, you know, now if you don't like it or whatever they told you in that recruiting visit. If that's not true, like, yep, I'm gone the next season. Like, you know, don't have to wait around. So it's just a lot different landscape altogether.
Yeah, they're going to have to sort some things out with the college game. I don't know that that is sustainable as it stands. I think you can work around. I think you can do some different things. But I think the way it stands right now, I don't know. You're asking people to do a lot of really, really weird things. Rob, it was announced on Monday that the Philadelphia Eagles will play host to the NFL's first regular season game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That is going to be absolutely wild. Rob, are you getting your passport? Are you getting ready to head down to Brazil?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, I've always wanted to go to Brazil. I've heard the scenery there.
The scenery. Yes, the scenery. And also really pretty country. Yes, it sounds like Brazil. Hey, that would be a time. I don't know. I don't know that I'm up for it. There's some considerations.
Right. Yeah.
But my goodness, Brazil in late summer to watch an NFL game. Rob, you might have to put together this trip. I don't know if you're going to be able to get this together or not. You might have to put this together. The Washington Commanders have fired offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy after just 1 year with the team. That is what Coach Dan Quinn said during his introductory news conference. Hey, we knew Bieniemy was a long shot to return, but it became official when they hired Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator. Rob, is this a good move or does it even matter? The Commanders are such a mess, it makes no difference.
Doesn't matter. Commanders, still a mess. Even with the coaching hire, they had, I don't know if they were leaks or whatever it was, but almost common knowledge seems like basically settled on their, I think, third or fourth choice.
Yep.
And just the way that got out there, just even though ownership and everything has changed, it still seems like a bit of a mess there.
You brought in Dan Quinn after what happened in the playoffs. Like, you saw what happened in the playoffs, and then you said, that's still going to be our guy. That's a bold move. I don't know if I fully understand that, because that defense did not look that good, did it?
It did not. And like I said, especially when they were linked to some of the younger coaches, and it just felt like, oh, okay, I guess this is like the last name that's out there, so I guess we'll take him, which I don't know. Doesn't seem like a great hire, but I mean, we'll see.
I'm not sold on Cliff Kingsbury yet, although he did have the Cardinals at least in the playoffs for a year or two in there, so maybe that's better. My personal belief, and this is just me, I think Eric Bieniemy rubs people the wrong way. I think he's an old school coach. I think he coaches in like an old school way. And I think as a result, guys are like, he's mean to me. He yells at me. You know, we saw Patrick Mahomes. He didn't like it. I just think he rubs guys the wrong way.
That's got to be it. I think, you know, like I said, schemes and stuff, NFL knowledge wise, you know, I think it's a good guy. But yeah, like you said, just maybe just a personality thing that, you know, teams don't want to deal with.
Yeah, it seems like. And I don't think the players understand how to deal with that either. I think that they've gotten into this new era of guys that, you know, more pat on the back than a kick in the butt. And that is not how Bieniemy coaches. I know there's been questions that, well, why doesn't Bieniemy get a head coaching job? Well, some of this is why. He kind of pushes guys the wrong way. And also, he does have on his record that he punched a woman in the face. Rob, Le'Veon Bell says that he's going to make an NFL comeback, and he's only interested in playing for one team. I guess we'll see who that team is. But he hasn't played in the NFL since 2021. He went and did some boxing. I think he knocked Adrian Peterson out. But he also had kind of a messy exit. He didn't want to sign his franchise tag, so he didn't really play. Is this just crazy? Is Le'Veon just out of his mind? Can he do this?
Nah, it sounds crazy to me.
It does me too.
It's just been too long. Like I said, we just saw Flacco come back, but that was like a season. But yeah, once you get into, I think, a couple years, I just think even if you're working out and staying in shape, just to jump right back in the NFL, I don't think it's a good idea. And if it does, I don't think he makes it through the whole season.
No, you know, running backs don't age like a quarterback does. Running backs age very, very poorly. And I have a feeling that might be the case there. We know Le'Veon has a little bit of a history dabbling in some chronic. I'm wondering if he's hit that a little bit too hard and started to imagine what might happen. Rob, let's go ahead and jump in to the big game. Super Bowl 58 is this Sunday, 4:30 p.m. I think the pregame starts in about 5 minutes. The game will be played at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to square off against the San Francisco 49ers. The Chiefs have now won 3 Super Bowls in their franchise history. They will now be going to their 4th Super Bowl in the last 5 years. The Chiefs are 3-2 total in Super Bowls. Meanwhile, the Niners have won 5 Super Bowls in their franchise's history, but they haven't won one since clear back in 94. The last time they made it this far was just back in 2020, and they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 31-20 in Super Bowl 54. But the Niners did open as a 2.5-point favorite. We are starting to see that come down a little bit. Money is coming in on the Chiefs, and the booking houses are adjusting accordingly. I think this is going to be a very, very interesting matchup. We're going to break it down right now. Rob, let's just jump into this game. We're going to let everyone know exactly how it's going to go. We've already seen it. We already imagined it. We already know. I want to start with a place that I usually like to start in big games. Because if you can run the football, you can control the clock. You can keep your defense off the field. Rob, when the Kansas City Chiefs have the ball and they're running the ball, who has the advantage?
When it comes to the running game, I'm going to say the 49ers. I think you can run on the Chiefs. And not to go back, this is still a little bitter for me, but Baltimore last weekend didn't run it enough. I think
No, they didn't
run it at all. And I think that is the way, like I said, I don't trust that run defense with the Chiefs. So I think you can, you know, pretty much run it down our throat. 49ers definitely, you know, are able to CMC, Debo. So, yeah, I think when it comes to the running game, I'm going to give 49ers the edge.
Do you like the Niners running the ball? Yeah, you know, I like Isaiah Pacheco running the ball for the Chiefs. He runs hard. We've talked about it before. He runs like a little kid that just got a new pair of shoes. He's going to show you how fast he is in them. But, like you said also, we have also seen teams take that run game away at times from the Chiefs. And on the other side, the Niners have one of the best run games in the league. CMC is very good, but they're also very creative with how they get the ball. They might give it to Samuel. They might give it to some other guys. And I think that makes this a little bit dangerous for Kansas City. I think run game-wise, that is where you beat the Chiefs. And I think this is huge. I think this right here, who can run the ball effectively, might end up swinging the game. Because if you can run the ball, you can keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, can't you?
Yeah, you can. And like I said, I think the Chiefs will be able to run. I mean, I think they'll get enough from Pacheco. But
yeah,
between the two, I mean, we saw Green Bay do it to him. And like I said, I don't know why, for whatever reason, the Ravens didn't run as much as I think they should have. But yeah, I really think that, you know, they can just pound it straight down the field on them.
Well, and, you know, it was so strange in that Baltimore game because I believe, and I might have this wrong, outside of what Lamar did, I believe they tried to run the ball 8 times. Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
It made no sense whatsoever. And I keep going back and forth on this game because I'm like, man, I could see this team win it. I could see this team win it. I think this could be such a big difference in the game if they can get it going. If one team can run the football and the other one can't, I think that might swing the game. You know, the Chiefs allow 113 yards per game on the ground against San Francisco. That could be deadly because not only does it get CMC going, not only does it keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, it takes all the pressure off Brock Purdy. Now Brock Purdy's not worried nearly as much about that pass rush. I think it could just keep the Chiefs defense completely off balance if you could run the football. Right. That's going to be a huge one. My concern is, and you talked about it, we saw Isaiah Pacheco. He probably will have a little bit of success. Sometimes it seems like that run defense for the Niners, I don't know if they're just goofing off, clowning around. We saw Detroit run on them for a half, and then it got shut down. We saw, was it the Packers run on them for a little bit? And then they came back and shut it down. But, like, if they don't come in, all focused, and I know it's easy to say, well, it's Super Bowl, of course they will. It seems like they sometimes struggle to be focused, that defense.
True, especially second half of the season.
Yeah.
Like I said, started off as a good defense, I would say. Like, in my head, I'm thinking a good defense. But then when you start looking, you know, down the stretch, like after week 15, that defense is up and down. And like I said, usually they can, you know, straighten it up, tighten it up in the second half, but it's not very consistent. Like I said, I know we'll get into this a little more. Like, the Chiefs defense, you know, I trust a lot more than the 49ers, the way they played over the season.
I do too. That's exactly what I'm looking at here. I think if the Niners come in and they establish you're not going to run the ball on us, it's going to be very, very interesting. But could that open some things up elsewhere? And that's where I want to go next. Because when we are talking about passing the ball, who is going to have the advantage? Will it be the Chiefs? Will it be the San Francisco 49ers?
It's got to be. It's got to be the Chiefs.
Has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be. You just don't see Mahomes make that many mistakes. Over the course of the season, he's not working with a lot, but he's got enough, you know. And like I said, if a quarterback's going to make the big mistake, it's probably going to be Purdy.
Right.
But then again, to your point, that's why the run game is so important, because if, you know, they're able to run it, you know, you don't need him trying to, you know, make a miracle happen or squeeze a ball in there, you know, just his normal throws. He's not, you know, doesn't have to do a whole lot.
Well, and that Niners offense is talented, but like you said, there are times they almost kind of no-show it. And there are halves or there are quarters that I'm sitting there going, I thought they were good. Where is it? Where's Nick Bosa? What is he doing? I don't see him at times. For the first half against the Detroit Lions, I was like, oh, this defense is in trouble. Now, they finally figured it out. And I'll give them this. Once they kind of figured it out, that was it. It seemed like they completely shut it down. But I will also say this. Not only does Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the game today, he also has a very, very good offensive line. We've got to see if Joe Tooney plays. I think that is big. All-pro guard. If he's not playing, how could you not miss him? That could be something to watch for sure. There's rumors. We know the wide receiving group is not great aside from Kelce. But Rob, why can't anyone stop Travis Kelce? It's so weird to me. I'm trying to figure it out. As a coach, there were games that we played against teams, and obviously it's basketball, it's different, where I said, okay, they've got a guy, he can score 50 on us. And that's fine. No one else can get 20 or we lose. Are teams doing that with Kelce? Like, hey, let Kelce get everything. No one else is getting anything. Or can they just not stop this guy? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's got to be they can't stop him. Like I said, if we can see it from home, I know those high-paid coordinators have to be able to see it. But like you said, it's almost, to make the basketball analogy, just double Kelce. And if, you know, it's Rashee Rice or Valdes-Scantling, you know, if we get beat by that, then, hey, you know, what can you do? But, like, just double Kelce, whatever, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, not here.
I don't and I watched the Ravens, and I will give this to the Ravens. In the second half, they shut him down. They did adjust. In the first half, they're running these zones, and Kelce's carving them up. He's finding gaps. He's getting into that gap and just settling and waiting and carving them up. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I understand. I don't know nearly as much about football as these guys, but what in the world are you doing? Because that was just so, so strange to me. And it happens over and over again. I want to see what the Niners do against Travis Kelce. Do they try to take him away? Do they, like you said, hey, we're going to W. I don't care if we lose. It's going to have to be somebody else. Somebody else has to make play. It's not going to be that guy.
Right.
With his homely girlfriend. Okay. On the other side of the ball, the Niners, this is a big one to me, because we have seen good Brock Purdy. We have seen really, really bad Brock Purdy. When he is good, this offense has so many weapons. They can carve you up in so many different ways. And Kyle Shanahan is really good at scheming. But when it's bad, Shanahan has to get real creative. He has to try to hand the ball to different people in different ways, because sometimes Purdy just doesn't have any accuracy whatsoever. Now, going against the Chiefs defense, that's one of the best pass defenses in the league. They allow 180 yards per game. The Niners have more weapons than they faced all year, though. If the key to me is, can Purdy get the ball to the guys that can do damage? They should be able to put pressure on him. if he can get a run game going, if he can stand in there and make some plays, this is going to get real interesting. Mm-hmm. I give the Niners an advantage on the run side. I give the Chiefs an advantage on the pass side, but I could see that swing.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, to your main point, I think that's why the run game is so important for the 49ers. Yeah. So, you know, if Purdy's dropping back 30, 40 times, that could go either way. But again, if that run game's going, now you got the play action. And again, you've got the playmakers. You know, you don't necessarily need that deep ball, perfect throw. I mean, you can, you know, play action, Debo out in the flat, you know, CMC out in the flat, and they make up a lot of those yards. So it's not just Purdy just straight dropping back, you know, looking for Ayuk on the long deep ball. Like I said, if that running game's going, you know, you can give it to Debo and CMC in the flat, and you know, they'll do the work.
This is the one. I mean, this is the one I'm struggling with. I think this could be even. This could be the Chiefs big. This could be the Niners big, and this is the one I'm struggling the most with. I'm going to put it as the Chiefs with a bit of an advantage, kind of like what you said. I give the advantage to the Chiefs, but I can see that fluctuate quite a bit. Okay, let's move to the special teams. If there is an advantage here, returners, kind of the same, maybe. Punters, kind of the same, no one cares. The big advantage to me here is the Chiefs with Harrison Butker. Their kicker is really, really good. Niners kicker Jake Moody, a little bit inconsistent, really, really young. And he has missed a kick in every playoff game so far. To me, I give the Chiefs a significant advantage in the special teams department. How do you feel on this one?
I would agree. Yeah, definitely the Chiefs. Like I said, most of it the same. Returns, you know, punting, pretty close. You know, either team could, you know, maybe return a punt or something like that. But yeah, the kicking game is definitely a concern because, like you said, Moody has missed quite a few. And mm-hmm. and it could, you know, end up being a close game, you know, where that matters.
The one way I could see the Niners taking back some advantage is if they're like, hey, this is it, Debo, go back and return a kick. Because if he does, and he has, that could change things. Because he could make a big play. I could see him contributing that way. We have to see how healthy is he. Do they want to run that risk of maybe him getting injured or something like that? Other than that, though, I give this advantage to the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, Rob, we've got two coaches. We've got Andy Reid on one side. We've got Kyle Shanahan on the other side. Who has the advantage coaching-wise?
Give me Andy Reid. Been there, done that. I'm a long-time Andy Reid fan, even from back when he was in Philly.
Yeah.
Scheme-wise, you know, I think Shanahan, you know, I mean, is a good coach, not to take anything away from him. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Shanahan was involved with that Patriots comeback Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
So that's in the back of my head. It is mine too. Yeah.
And what's crazy is Kyle Shanahan has the highest career postseason winning percentage of any coach or manager, MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, who has never won a title. He has won nearly 73% of his games in the postseason, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Can he flip that here? I'm with you, though. I give the advantage to Andy Reid. Does he get too cute sometimes? Yeah, he does. Is his stomach lopped over his belt? Yes, it is. But there are also the rumors that they are saying he might be done. If he wins it, he might be finished. And I mean, I would think his doctors have got to be thrilled about that. I would think his arteries have to be thrilled about that. That is a very real possibility in the back of everybody's mind on that team and that franchise. Hey, we got to get this because he's done. And that, I think, gives them a little bit of an advantage as well. Maybe you're just a little more laser focused knowing Andy could be finished. All right, Rob, we move to a big one. We move to a big one. Officiating. And I give the Chiefs a huge advantage when it comes to the officiating. I'm not sure why. I will attribute it to the deal they made with Satan, but the Chiefs get more calls than anyone in the NFL. And I fully expect it again on Sunday We'll see soft roughing the passer calls. We'll see missed offensive holding calls. We'll see ticky-tack defensive backfield holding calls. I expect all those. I think the Chiefs get a few gifts here. How do you feel?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, we saw it last year. Last year's Super Bowl. Yeah, and if you believe in the NFL and having the fix in, if the NFL wants a team to win, I'm sure it's the Chiefs. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a few questionable calls during this game.
Okay. So, see, I'm trying to average everything out. I'm adding up the run game. I'm adding up the pass game, the special teams, the coaching, the officiating. And I'm coming up with a number. I've almost got my number set as far as the final score. I'm getting real, real close. Rob, I want to compare the cities themselves. And that's a little bit weird. I understand. But I want you to think about this. Because, honestly, San Francisco or Kansas City, San Fran should walk away with this. The city by the bay has long been one of the most popular destinations in the world. You have the Golden Gate Bridge. You have Market Street. You have some of the greatest restaurants in the world. Meanwhile, what does Kansas City have? The Paris of the Plains? Kansas City doesn't have that kind of history. They do have some of the best barbecue in the world. I'll give them that. No doubt about that. They do have the Blues and Jazz Festival. They also have City Market, which is one of the largest and most enduring public farmers markets in the whole Midwest, in the whole nation. This is an easy win for San Fran, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it has to be.
It is. Yeah. Give me San Fran.
You're taking
over,
San Fran.
Kansas City.
Rob, here's the problem. The state of California has turned into a third world country. And the fact that they have a cell phone app called Snapcrap to tip people off in San Francisco how to avoid all of the doo-doo on the street tightens this race up a little. I feel like Kansas City pulls this off in a sneaky way, not from a standpoint of how great the city is, but it's turning into a dump, Rob. It's turning into a mess out there. And I know, you know, the trips I've made lately to California, I am scared to death the entire time I'm out there. It's horrifying. I don't know. I think this is closer. I think San Fran wins. I think it's closer than I expected.
Fair enough.
And primarily, just because anytime you're getting like medieval plagues breaking out again, might be time to rethink it. I don't know. I know how California votes. I understand it. And yet, when you're starting to see like the Black Plague coming back and you're starting to see, you know, vermin diseases taking over, you might need to rethink the way you're running your country there.
That is fair.
It's a little bit scary. Okay, Rob, we're going to play a little game. And I have not tipped Rob off to this. He has no idea the game we're going to play, but we're going to play a little game. Okay? Here's the game. Me and Rob are getting... Remember when you were kids? And we did this a lot, I know, growing up. You go out in the field and you say, hey, me and Rob are captains because me and Rob are the best players. Duh. And so we're going to pick teams. Okay? Me and Rob are right now going to pick the best players and we're going to make our team. But out of the Super Bowl, you can only pick skill position. No offensive, defensive line, no linebackers, no defensive backs, none of that. We're just taking offensive skill position. You take the best players that you have. Rob, I'm going to give you the first pick. Who is going to be the first pick for you in the skill position department? First pick, go.
Yeah, it's got to be Mahomes.
Yeah, you're going to take Patrick Mahomes. I understand. Rob gets Mahomes. His team is looking good so far. I am going to take Christian McCaffrey. So I've got CMC. Rob, you are next up. Who would be your next pick?
I'm going to come back with the 49ers and give me Debo.
Yep. Yeah, I would probably go Debo as well. My next pick, I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk. I think he is very, very dangerous. I think Ayuk will be my next guy. Who would your next skill position player be in this draft?
Give me Kelsey.
Yeah, Kelsey's going to be right there. Well, I am going to match you, and I am going to take George Kittle. Rob, we're balancing things out. You got another pick here for us? Who's your next skill position guy?
see, since I got Mahomes, let me take the rookie, Rashee Rice.
You're going to go Rice. I like that pick. I know you like that pick. He's a cousin of yours. I'm going to go with Juwan Jennings. So now we have, and that's close. I probably should have went somewhere else, but I'm going to give you the next pick.
Let's see here. Who do you have again? Can we do a run? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Let's run this down. So right now, Rob's team consists of Patrick Mahomes, Deebo Samuel, Travis Kelce, and Rashee Rice. I've got Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Juwan Jennings. Who would you like your next pick to be? Got one more. Yeah, this is your last pick.
Last pick, huh? I guess Pacheco.
You're going to go Pacheco. That's kind of who I thought you'd take. And I, you know what, Rob? I don't have a quarterback, so I'm going to take Brock Purdy. Okay. Now, I want you to take a look at how we drafted here. The best player in the draft is Patrick Mahomes. And then we have a bunch of Niners in there. Travis Kelce. But then we have a bunch of Niners in there. And then at the bottom is San Fran's quarterback. So one guy has all the weapons. The other guy basically has one weapon, right, but he's really, really good. That's how close this Super Bowl is going to be. And when you look at the breakdown like that, you're like, I'm torn more than ever. Like, I can see it going either way. One has a really good quarterback, but he doesn't have much else. One doesn't have a great quarterback, but he has everything else. This is tough.
And like you said, just from a team standpoint, I mean, like you said, if you just start going talent for talent, it's 49ers all day. But like you said, Mahomes is kind of that X factor that, you know.
Well, Rob, you bring up a really good point, because right now we're gonna go off to something else. Because you do a little bit of sports betting. And I got to give you credit, because you and I talk about this. And I know a lot of people that do sports betting. They always ask me if I sports bet. And I'm like, no, because I need the money that I have. And you go out and you go into sports betting. But I always give you credit. And in fact, I always tell people this, because you are very careful about your sports betting. And you track what you make against what you lose. Now, that sounds obvious. Of course, everybody does that. But I want you to think about this. How many friends do you have that sports bet? And you'll think about it, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I've got four or five friends. And they'll be like, oh, I won big last weekend. Oh, I won big, you know, in October. Oh, I won big this one weekend. Okay, well, all those weeks that you're not telling me about, I'm assuming you're losing big. So the only ones you're telling me about is when you're winning. I know that for a fact. There's no way you're going to come out and be like, yeah, dude, I really took it on the chin this week. It was rough. I lost about 200. I cannot believe I thought my Broncos would cover. I don't know. What was I thinking? But Rob does this a little bit better than everyone else. He thinks it out. He tries to be objective with his picks. And like I said, you track wins and losses. And then you're like, hey, here's kind of where I'm sitting. I'm a little up. I'm a little down, whatever. You do pretty well with your sports betting. For that reason, we're going to go Rob right now. And before we give you our Super Bowl pick, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. We are going to take a look at some over-unders, some sports parlays, maybe a few prop bets that are going to be out here for the Super Bowl 58. And we're going to get Rob's expert opinion, because he knows this. Now, like we said, the San Francisco 49ers opened as 2.5-point favorites. That number has been coming down. It sounds like it's down around 1.5 now, but it won't surprise me if by kickoff, the Chiefs are actually a slight favorite. I could totally see that happening. Rob, how do you see that line right now? Right now, they're saying it's about 1.5 in favor of San Francisco. You think that's about right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Based on the whole season, whole body of work, like we just talked about, talent, if you just look at the talent between the two teams, I think the 49ers are rightfully a favorite of less than a field goal.
Yeah, I do too. Rob, the over-under, though, is 47.5. How are you liking that number? What are you looking at when you see that number?
I could go either way on that
one. Yeah, I could too.
I would lean under just because of game script, how I think it should go. Like we talked about, 49ers come out, run the ball, keep Mahomes off the field. Mahomes is moving the offense, but again, they're not explosive. So I think early on we get some scoring in the first half just from the scripted plays and both the coaches.
Yep.
But then halftime adjustments are made, and I think it tightens up. So I think it stays under, but it's going to be close, but just under.
Rob, that's really good stuff, because that is exactly how I'm looking at this as well, and I think you're exactly right. I think it starts off maybe a little bit explosive. Everybody's going, oh, this is going to be a shootout. And then everybody settles in. The defenses get their feet under them, and we start to see this change. But Rob, we know when it comes to the Super Bowl, prop bets are those bets that are designed to get casual fans, the people that honestly don't know anything about football whatsoever. Hey, you come out and you give us your money too. They try to get casual fans to kind of sign up, place a bet for fun. This isn't about the game. You don't have to know anything. You can come and you can make a big winning on Super Bowl Sunday. So you try to entice them with these bets. Well, Rob, we have some unusual prop bets. Before we start, I don't know the answer to this. Do you have any specific prop bets that you're like looking at? Like, yeah, hey, I might be looking at this one as we get closer.
Not really. Big ones. Like the obvious one, CMC touchdown.
Yep.
Gonna parlay that with something else that always happens. Maybe like Pacheco rush yards, kind of like we talked about Purdy pass attempts under. I think it's like set at 30. So under that, again, with the running game script, but you sure. No big ones, no surefires.
Well, we're going to take a look at a couple of prop bets right now, and we're going to kind of get your opinion, because right now, the first player to score a touchdown, the leader right now would be Christian McCaffrey. So if you don't know what this means, if you laid 100, you would make $220 on that if Christian McCaffrey is the first person that scored. The next closest person would be Isaiah Pacheco. We'll see which way that goes. McCaffrey, Pacheco, one of them could win it. Do you like either one of those, or is that just one of those coin flip kind of things?
That's a coin flip one. I will say, though, I did see a stat. I think it is the 49ers, or no, I mean, the Chiefs have scored on their opening possession. It's a high number. I want to say like 7 or 8 or something like that. So if I was going to make a bet on that, I would take a Chief. And I'd go down a little bit since it is such a crapshoot, and I would take either Kelce or Rice on, like I said, because it is a crapshoot, but those are going to pay out a little bit more. So yeah. I would say Kelce or Rice for the first TD.
Okay. That's good advice. Let's take that. Write that down. Telling you right now, if you want to make some money. Rob, we've got the over-under on the number of times that commentator Tony Romo states that he is in love with Patrick Mahomes. Right now, that number is 14.5. Does that seem high? Does that seem about right?
You got to go over that. It's seems high, but he's going to get there every time. You know, whenever Mahomes makes a good play or, you know, dodges a sack and does something.
Or anything.
You're going to get, 3 or 4 just back to back to back. So you'll get there quickly.
It's funny to me because there are times that Mahomes will come out and he'll like avoid the rush and he'll like kind of throw it sidearm. And then the next play, it's not as bad as Chris Collins. Chris really gets wound up. But Romo will be like, the next play, Mahomes will go out. He'll like avoid the pass rush or throw. He'll be like, we've never seen that. I'm like, we just saw the last play. Were you not watching the last play? Because I literally just saw that exact same play. Rob, there is actually, I'm not making this up. I know this is going to sound insane. There is a Vegas line out there that following the game, pop superstar and Travis Kelce girlfriend Taylor Swift will endorse Joe Biden for president after the game. Odds on that are 10-1. How would you vote? How would you go on that? Would you touch that one?
I have heard that conspiracy theory, but I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it doesn't happen.
I don't either.
I'm just trying to get your money on that one.
But. Yeah, that seems silly to me. And I know whatever, you know, Swift politically, I don't know, but she's got to know, you know, the whole, you know, Republicans buy music too. I don't know that she's going to come out and endorse anybody. Here's one that you might not have seen though. Jackson Mahomes says he's going to endorse Bill Clinton, and that is 3-1. So I think now to be fair, Jackson has no idea where he's given at. He's a complete idiot. So we'll see with that. Okay. Here's another prop bet you could put out there. What color will the Gatorade be that gets dumped on the winning coach? And bizarrely, purple is leading. If you laid 100, you get 275 on purple. Orange is at 350.
Rob, red or pink is at 350. I think red, with both teams wearing red, I think red is kind of sneaky here. Are you touching this bet?
I would go red or orange. Red
I would
or orange.
Too.
Yeah.
I would too. Purple, I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I'm not. Purple, yeah, that doesn't sound right to me. All right, Rob, here's another kind of a color one too. What color will the jumpsuit be that Patrick Mahomes Sr. will be wearing after picking up his third DUI? Orange is at a plus 100, yellow plus 800. I think orange is the obvious pick here.
Orange, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, lock that in now.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes Sr. is having some problems. Now, we talk about this a little bit, Rob. I've already mentioned this. We have a Daily Dust drinking game, and I understand how dangerous DUI situations are. I understand how you're putting lives at risk, and yet, I'm not saying, I already said it's bad, okay? And yet, if you are in a box with Brittany Mahomes, Jackson Mahomes, and Taylor Swift, you might have a drink. That's all I'm going to say. You might have 100 drinks. I don't know.
A couple, yeah, yeah.
More, but I'm saying that they might be involved in this. I'm not excusing it. Patrick's responsible for himself, but I understand. Okay, Rob, we have another one. Will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift after the game? And yes, is got not much money going on there. No is a minus 3,000 right now. Any chance something silly like this happens after the game?
No. Yeah,
he's not going to do that, is he?
No. I couldn't see it.
I can't either. Okay. So, like, yes, if he did it, I think if you laid 100, you'd make just over $1,000. But like I said, I can't see him doing it. No, that's just a throwaway. But here's another one. Will the NFL officiating crew propose to Patrick Mahomes? And that number is about the same as, well, I can see that happening. Like, I can see them getting down on one knee. I could see them doing that. I think that is at least a possibility. Rob, we know that it's not just the game. It's the spectacle. It's the whole thing. It's the pregame. It's the halftime. It's the commercials. It's the whole thing. Rob, 68-year-old country music star Reba McEntire is going to be singing the national anthem. Now, here's an interesting thing that I want to point out. When she sings it, you can go look it up on YouTube. She gets through it. Like, she doesn't mess around a whole lot. She gets through it pretty quick. The over-under is one of the lowest we have seen in recent years. It is 87 and a half seconds. Would you go near this?
No, this is another one.
This is scary.
But I would say under, though. I mean, if we're giving out
picks,
yeah,
I think I would
say under. She's a professional.
Yeah.
Won't be... You know, the moment won't be too big for her, you know, so she'll just get up there and do her thing and be done with it. So
I would agree.
So I'm going to say under as my official pick.
Yeah, I would do that too. Okay, so if you didn't know, maybe you're not aware, the halftime show will be performed by R&B superstar Usher. He is going to be performing the halftime show. I think that's a decent pick, isn't it? He's got a lot of material. That's not bad, is it? Now, the bet out there is first song of his will be Yeah. Or the second song that gets the most votes would be DJ Got Us Falling in Love. I think he's going to come out to Yeah, right? Like that's the most exciting one, right?
It should be, yeah. Probably most known by all audiences is that one. So that would make sense to start with that.
I think that's the one. I think that's the pick. And I think that makes sense for, you know, him coming out too. I think that makes a lot of sense. Of course, you can also bet if there are any additional artists that will join Usher on stage right now. Alicia Keys is the biggest favorite, I guess you'd say, to join him. Ludacris is also out there. Taylor Swift is out, actually on the bet, but I don't know if I'm going to see her actually going down. I don't know about that. Madonna is actually on the ticket as well. I don't know if I'm seeing Madonna get out there. We'll see. But that might be interesting. Of any of those, I guess, I don't know, Alicia Keys. Is there anybody else that you'd think of that you'd be like, you might join Usher? I don't know who else would be.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think who else has a residency there in Vegas.
Right, right.
They could have been practicing this whole time. But like I said, I'm not sure.
Carrot Top. yeah, I don't know. I don't know who else it's going to be. Now, here's one other bet that's out there. odds that 65-year-old Madonna looks about three decades older than 68-year-old Reba McEntire. That's a pick'em right now. So I don't know. She's had work done. Let's just say that. Rob, our final prop bet here that we have is Super Bowl MVP. And we're going to get to this because I'm going to have you make your pick for the Super Bowl MVP. But right now, here are the favorites. Patrick Mahomes, if you bet $100, you take him 135. Not a great bet. He's the big favorite. Next up would be Brock Purdy, which surprises me a little bit. Christian McCaffrey is next at a plus 450. Travis Kelce at a plus 1700. I don't know if a tight end is going to win the MVP. And then the NFL officials are at a plus 2000. But Rob, if you were going to make your pick for MVP, just kind of keep those in mind as we're going to go forward, because we're going to make our pick here in just a minute. And we are going to pick our final score and our most valuable player to win this whole thing. All right, Rob, we have gone through, we have looked at strengths, we have looked at weaknesses, we've looked at coaching, special teams, the whole thing. We have gone through, we've even looked at cities, because we are thorough, if nothing else. Rob, I'll give you my pick first. I'm going to let Rob finish this up. And I keep going back and forth on this. I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to come out a little bit stronger than the Niners. I think they're going to have some success early. I think the Niners are going to struggle early. I think the run game is going to get the Niners, keep them in the game. But I think the Chiefs will take a halftime lead. I think that seems to be the trend for both these teams. The Chiefs start quick. The Niners start a little bit slow. I think the Chiefs lead at halftime. And then I think Christian McCaffrey has kind of kept him in this game. He carries the Niners until Brock Purdy warms up. We have seen throughout the playoffs, it seems like every quarter Purdy gets a little bit better. And I think the San Francisco 49ers take over late. My pick, San Francisco 27, Kansas City 23. And my most valuable player goes to Christian McCaffrey. Rob, you have the floor. Let's have your pick. What do you got? How's this going
to
go?
Well, similar to you said, I think the Chiefs start off fast, score first, go into halftime with the lead, as they usually do. And then I think it slows down with them. It slows down for them. I think the 49ers run game, like you said, keeps them there. And the Chiefs end up holding on in this one. So I've got the Chiefs winning it 23-21.
Ooh.
And
it comes down to two. That's really good.
Yeah, Chiefs 23-21, and Mahomes has to be the MVP. He does enough early on, late, you know, the go-ahead drive to get him the field goal to go ahead. And, I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's the Chiefs.
Well, and you know what? If we get that close of a game, no complaints. Just give me a good competitive game. And I know we've talked a lot of, you know, and by we, I mean me, have talked a lot of crap about the officiating. Please don't let the officiating be the determining outcome in this game like it was last year. That was so painful. I don't want to see that. Let the players decide it.
Completely agree. Yeah, like I said, hopefully we get a, even if not that close, just competitive where you feel like the team's still in it. And yeah, don't, like I said, the refs don't decide it, especially in the second half. Like I said, if keep it away. Like, if you're going to let them play the whole game.
Right.
Like I said, the touch fouls and the pass interference, the questionable pass interference and the roughing the passer. More so than anything, the roughing the passer, I think.
Yes.
That's the one that, like, come on. Like, let it be a real roughing the passer.
Well, and speaking as an official, I have limited officiating experience, but I did do it for a couple of years. Call it tight early. And then all the players go, oh, hey, this is how it's going to be. And then loosen it up as it goes.
Right.
And that is the smartest way to do it. I don't understand why in the first quarter you go, oh, we're going to let that slide. And with the game on the line, you're going to call that.
Yeah.
With the Super Bowl on the line.
Yeah.
We literally saw that exact scenario play out last year. I get it. The Chiefs benefited. I understand. But that isn't how anybody wants that to end. I don't want there to be all that controversy at the end. I want it to just be, hey, we got the best teams playing and the best result and the best finish. Please just let the players, you know, finish this up. Rob, I've got one more prediction that I need from you.
is there any chance that we're going to have someone get arrested in Vegas, someone gets caught with a like a bundle of heroin? Like, do we have any chance of like a fight breaking out? I don't. It's in Vegas, Rob. When we were kids, if you had told us the Super Bowl is going to be in Vegas, we'd have said, "Are you crazy?
Yeah, no way.
There's no way." And here we are. I'm a little nervous.
A little bit. I think we're going to be okay. I've read the stuff about the gambling, like no gambling at all. Yeah. Chiefs are super focused. 49ers as well. I mean, if anyone, it's got to be Kadarius Toney, right?
Kadarius Toney, right? That's exactly what I'm thinking about. It's exactly what I'm thinking about. He's the guy I'm worried about. If Kadarius is anywhere near the strip, all bets are off, literally. Because that idiot, is he done? Honestly, is he done? You can't then say the Chiefs were lying. That is literally a finable offense for the league. I don't know, Rob. I don't trust Kadarius. That idiot. Ooh, this could be bad. Rob, what in the world? Now next week, we're going to come back. We're going to run this back, and we're gonna break down exactly how right we were. But, Rob, football's over. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, it always happens so fast. It's just,
I know.
We're doing preseason and first 4 weeks, and everything's great. And then, yeah, before you know it, the playoffs are gone. And here we are with that one last game.
Just depresses me every year how fast it goes. Because it's like Christmas. You wait and wait and wait and wait, and then you rip your presents open in 5 seconds. It's already over. Rob, how's the Premier League going? What in the world's going on in the Premier League? What am I going to watch?
It's actually a little bit more competitive than it's been. Man City, yeah. I think they're second right now after last week's game. So it's a couple teams up there at top. I think it's still Man City's to take, but
okay,
you still got a little drama.
Yeah, a little bit. I have started to watch more college hoop just because now we have, those Sunday afternoons, Monday nights are already, you're already feeling that burn. I know we still have the Super Bowl, but I've started to dive into that a little bit. Got some interesting teams. And one thing about college basketball this year, I know we don't really watch it until the tournament, but there's teams that you're used to being good that aren't very good. And there's teams that we're like, they're good? How are they good? Like, Nebraska's good at basketball? Like, it's kind of weird. Might have some interesting things coming up in March Madness. Still too early for me to really fully dive in on the NBA and the NHL just yet.
Same. Yeah, I don't usually tune into NBA until after the All-Star break, which is coming up. And then, yeah, to your point about college basketball, I think I saw a thing the other day. Most losses by top 10 teams.
See.
After in like February or something, before February or something like that. So yeah, to your point, I think March Madness could get super crazy. And then another one too, I'll mention too, women's college basketball, a little more parity than usual. Got a handful of teams there. So I know something we don't talk about a lot, but I think, their Final Four could be pretty interesting as well.
Should be really interesting. You've got South Carolina, you've got Iowa, you've got USC, looks like they could be the real deal. You've got LSU, still very, very talented. We'll see if they come through. Caitlin Clark is getting a lot of attention. I don't know that I've ever seen a shooter like that on the women's game. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally can shoot the dang thing from half court. Yeah, that might actually garner a little more interest. And one thing that I think is fascinating, we're talking about the NBA, and you sent me something earlier this week talking about the NBA is going to kind of mess with the All-Star game floor and they're going to kind of do some. Well, the problem is we have actually seen the college women's game draw more fans watching than an NBA game. Rob, again, I hate to go back in that time machine, but we would have said there's no way that's ever going to happen. That's where we are. And Adam Silver just got an extension. Yeah. So that's where we're at. Rob, I'm going to need some things to watch here very, very soon. I don't know. I'm going to have to be reaching out here very soon because I'm going to need something to watch. I'm going to be freaking out for a few weeks until March Madness really picks up. But the regular season only has like 3-4 full weeks left. And then we're going to be diving into March Madness. That's going to get very, very exciting. Going to be looking forward to that. But Rob, as usual, I want to thank you for all your contributions that you bring us to the Daily Dose. There are so many stories that I don't see until Rob sends them to me. And then I take full credit. I give him none. And we always appreciate your visits. So, Rob, I'm really hoping you can come back next week and we can run this back and see all the ways we were right and all the picks that we got right.
Absolutely. I'm going to play your drinking game. So assuming I have sobered up.
I'm telling you right now, it might get real dicey.
So assuming I am sober, I will be back.
Well, start off with Gatorade because it might be real dicey. The Daily Dose drinking game, yeah, it does not suffer fools lightly. You better be careful with that bad boy because it is bringing it. Rob, want to thank you so much for doing our Super Bowl 58 preview and can't wait to get back together again next week and see how right we were.
Yes, sir. See you next week.
Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, we will be recapping Super Bowl 58 and the entire 2023 NFL season, and we might even begin to take a brief look forward to the NFL next season as well. So be sure you tune into the Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I have to say thank you so much to Big Rob for all of your contributions to the Daily Dose, and I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and enjoy Super Bowl 58.
Not bloody likely.